22% of high school teens had seriously considered committing suicide last year. 18% made a plan. 10% attempted. 3%, like myself, required medical care.
Welcome to another episode of The Cooling Solution with yours truly, James Rousseau. I appreciate you being here. Clearly a topic we must talk about: youth hopelessness, the impacts it's having, but also what we can do to curb what is happening. And so David Miles is joining me from Treehouse, an organization focused on ending youth hopelessness. In a career clinic, I'm going to talk to you about education. You know I love to talk about the topic of education, but more specifically, a mode of education that you can take for free and give you four options to do so. Let's jump in. You've heard me talk previously about the state of youth hopelessness, and I have none other than David Miles here to join me to talk about it. David Miles is a sought-after, award-winning international speaker, pastor, college professor, business leader, consultant, and radio co-host, but he's also a board member at Treehouse, and I'm looking forward to an exciting conversation with him. David, welcome to the show.
James, thank you so much for having me on the show today. It's an honor to be with you guys and to be with your esteemed listening family.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you taking the time. Let's start here. I always like to let the audience get to know something fascinating about the person on the other end of the line. And so what is one thing you can share with this audience that even those closest to David Miles do not know?
You know what? I have a, besides having a deep love for people, right now, not many people know I'm training for a half marathon.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is this your first one?
It'll be my second one.
Okay.
And probably at the moment trying to fight through some plantar fasciitis, which has been interesting. And, you know, honestly, James, back in the day, I probably would have never imagined doing something like this, because in college and in high school, was the state and national champion throwing the javelin. So my approach was 88 feet before I threw.
Gotcha.
And I actually thought anyone who was a distance runner was, you know, a little touched in the head. I was just like,
just a little touched in the head.
Like, I got an 8.5 foot spear, 3-inch spikes. I'm not running. If we need to throw down, we'll throw down.
A little touch in the head. I hear that. Well, good luck. When is the marathon?
End of June.
End of June. Okay. So you still, you still have some time. You still have some time.
We have a group of guys called Black Men Run here in the Twin Cities. And so
doing that
for, you know, good health, extending and living out our purpose for the long term.
Goodness. Were you training during the winter months? I have to ask. Were you out in Minnesota running around during the winter months?
You know what? I wasn't. You know, I had a fairly interesting last year. Kind of, you know, in really good health, but had 3 unplanned surgeries and 2 hospitalizations. So I was on pause until the end of December. But I was out running in the weather. I live by a forest preserve, so I'm able to kind of go out there. But yeah, so I run in sub-zero weather and blizzards and stuff like that.
If you need to do it, you need to do it. I get it. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. What led you to join Treehouse? You're doing so many things. As I mentioned in your intro, you're a speaker, pastor, college professor, business leader, etc. What made you decide to devote some of your time as a board member for Treehouse?
You know, James, really, it's the purpose of Treehouse, which is ending hopelessness among teens with the life-saving message of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's really a huge part of it. And part of my own story is growing up as a native of North Dakota. My parents were in the military, got transferred there, but grew up and had my own experience with seizure disorders and racism and the like, and had my own failed suicide attempt as a sophomore in high school. And it was a locker mate who invited me to a student ministry event that would be part of the catalyst for transforming my life. And so, you know, a love for students, a love for the fact that kids who feel they can't go anywhere else, you know, are accepted as lovable, capable, and worthwhile at Treehouse.
That's good.
I really resonate. It's not just a board that I sit on.
Yes.
It's something that I believe in.
And, you know, it's so funny because Anthony Flynn was just on, and he talked about, you know, pain being the birthplace of most of our passions. And I think what you said just encapsulates that as an example. When you think about the work you're doing at Treehouse, help people understand the state of youth hopelessness in any way you see fit, quantitative, qualitatively. Give people some perspective.
Well, you know, one of the things is last year's CDC report was a big piece on hopelessness. The CDC released a teen mental wellness report last year, you know, besides a number of things, but it found out that 22% of high school teens had seriously considered committing suicide last year. 18% made a plan. 10% attempted. 3%, like myself, required medical care. And when you look at teen girls, 57%, almost three out of five, reported persistent hopelessness and sadness.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is something that's fairly major. It's alarming. It's also increasing very much in the African American community. And, you know, this is something that we really need to dig into. And interesting, James, it's not just teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, that's a part of our future, but it's adults. You know, I've done the homegoing service for one of my leaders whose 21-year-old college son ended his life. It's professionals. And recently, last year, I spoke to the Veterans Administration, and it's one of their major initiatives because suicide among veterans is extremely high. And another area is construction workers. Construction workers and farmers have high suicide rates. And so there's a lot of hopelessness, and there's a lot of you know, sadness going around. Last numbers were that 77% of people felt loneliness. So this is something that is needing to be addressed. And one of the reasons why I share my story and one of the reasons why I love Treehouse is because wanting to reduce the stigma of shame, guilt, and fear around this conversation.
Yeah.
And especially at Treehouse, kids can come as they are and be fairly raw and real and know that they're welcome there and accepted.
Yeah. Nice. The other number I saw in that same study that you referenced, 42% of students felt persistently sad or hopeless.
Yeah.
That to me was, again, 4 out of 10. 42% of students felt sad or hopeless. You know, from the work you've been doing in the, you know, I think when you're in work like this, many of us who start out in different initiatives, we begin with one perspective of what the cause may be and what the remedy may be. And then you get into it and you get knee deep and you find, you know, the tentacles of all this, right?
Yeah.
From your time in this, what have you found that has been for you eye-opening and I'm sure gut-wrenching at the same time, but what, in terms of the drivers here, what have you found?
Yeah, you know, one person has noted the strangeness of being in a crowded room yet feeling utterly alone.
Mm.
And actually not feeling heard or listened to or seen. It makes me think of a statement by a gentleman named Douglas Steer. And he says this, to listen deeply to another person's soul is perhaps the greatest gift that we can give another person.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm finding that true. And the drivers are, you know, the comparison culture.
Mm.
You
know,
this whole thing, like, I remember hearing a mom say this over Christmas. She said, you know, everything is fine in my life until I turn on the television and I look at social media.
Oof.
Because everyone else's life looks really good on Facebook and Instagram. I mean, Facebook and Instagram. And so everything just looks so very well put together. And so those are some of the drivers, some of the expectations and almost the fear of failure, but also the fear of success. And I remember hearing the story of a person who was like captain of their hockey team as a girl, on their way to getting, you know, an amazing scholarship. And, you know, a person that you weren't necessarily thinking of this, and that was a person, you know, who ended their life. And I remember my second son telling me, oh yeah, we had heard about this.
Hmm.
And so it's something that is, you know, pretty broad base. One of the things in the study is showing that one of the fastest growing group are African-American boys 10 to 19. And see, I was about 15 when I had my attempt. And, you know, so, and James, as you know, there's there's been so many different things that have come, you know, at teens and Black teens. You know, as a people, we're some of the most resilient people walking the planet. And have, you know, been through so very much and have overcame so much. And yet the reality is that this stuff is real. It's raw. It's impacting teens. And on top of that, this continual message to them that somehow something's deficient when, you know, they're amazing.
Two things you said that are interesting. One, the comparison culture, right? And I'm good until I see something else that tells me I'm not, I don't measure up, I have a gap. But then this other thing, being in a crowded room yet feeling alone. I think that's such a powerful quote. What is Treehouse's approach to trying to help recover, help remedy some of these things that youth are experiencing?
Yeah, you know, one of the things, besides being around for 40 years and it having its founding with a guy named Fred Thomas, and he was a teacher, and he was seeing these things happen in the students that he had. So he would actually go and sit down with principals and say, hey, give me the students that you wish weren't in your school. And so creating a culture through one-on-one mentoring and also through support groups, those are kind of our bread and butter, and people being actively engaged into the students and being trained. We have a thing called TreeSource, where, you know, we're helping to train and provide resources as an equipping organization. We're an equipping organization, James. We're wanting to equip as many people to reach out to teens. You know, we're approaching, I think, 75 network sites. We have 5 directly operated sites here in the Twin Cities, 75 out. We now have joined with a group in ministry in Estonia, Africa, down in South Africa area, that has, we'll be having 20 some odd different contact locations. And that's due to the fallout and the you know, impact of AIDS in that area, and the number of orphans as well. And so there was some families that knew this ministry partner over there, partnered with them. And so they're in the middle of getting their things up and running. And so, you know, one of the huge things that's not just talked about, but lived, is very much the grace culture of Treehouse. Now, that's not excusing, like, truth.
Right.
You know, Scripture says Jesus came, John 1, 18, full of grace and truth. But very much a grace culture, grace-based culture, where kids come in and they're just like, wait a minute, this is different. Like, this is utterly, like, not what I was expecting. And as a person who served as a pastor, you know, sometimes church wasn't always the safest place for kids to come.
Yeah.
You know, I remember one of my youth pastor that I had when I was in Ohio. And one day when I was new at the church, I was asking him, kind of describing some of the church family and the community stuff. And I asked him about our church. And he said, you know, he goes, this is a great place for kids who come preloaded with Christianity. And I remember I just pushed back and I was like, Jason, that's an incredible statement. And why I bring that up is that sometimes in church, and even church youth group, and I had a great church youth group, so I'm not dogging that. I had an amazing youth pastor and youth group. But where kids maybe feel like they can't talk about cutting at their youth group, our church kids would go to Treehouse because they can talk about cutting. There wasn't the, there was like, okay, let's talk about this. And and letting, and not necessarily fixing it with platitudes and just kind of offhanded comments, but really letting, I mean, like if you sit in on a support group, and you listen to these kids get like really real, and then also just the environment that makes it okay for them to be where they're at and still love them where they're at, but love them to something greater as well.
Yeah, that's good. How do youth usually find their way into Treehouse?
You know, one of the ways that they find themselves in is kind of something that's been happening all along. And if you go back, you know, Nathaniel invited Andrew, come and see the Messiah. Personal invitations. Personal invitations, because, you know, we have all these like trite sayings, but what's neat about Treehouse is that it's real. You know, like hungry, begging people for food, I found a place to get fed thirsty people. And, you know, even beyond Treehouse, James, is this. I remember being a part of, there were three cities, Dayton, Ohio, Jacksonville, Florida, Tucson, that Outreach had did a partnership. And they were strengthening church attendance and marriages through Family mm-hmm. Life this week. And so they were trying to see what would happen in a community. And as we were doing this outreach, we found out that 83% of people would attend church if invited by a friend, family, coworker, or an acquaintance. But we found 83%. But also found out that 11% of people invited.
Got it.
Okay. So this is the thing. I was just up in Moorhead, Minnesota, speaking at a school on Friday. And I've begun to do this because I do a message. I speak to high schools and colleges and things like that to have these very like real conversations and have a message called I Am Here that looks at self-awareness, taking action, and staying resilient. Powerful message just to bring this out of. But one of the things, I'll stop as I share my story about my locker mate, Lance, mm-hmm. inviting me to this student ministry thing. And I'll have someone time. Listen, this is what it was. I'm at my locker. Lance has no clue that I had failed at attempting to take my own life.
Mm.
Lance is at his locker. He goes in his book, gets his stuff, shuts his locker. He turns, walks away, and he turns back. He says, "Hey, Dave." I said, "Yeah? What are you doing on Thursday?" "Nothing. You want to come with me to this event?" "Sure." So I had someone time that, and the person said that was 8.9 seconds.
There you go.
James, we sometimes make this so incredibly complicated.
Yes.
But how deep is, hey, what? You want to come with me to this
wanna
thing?
Want to come with.
Sure.
Want to come
and
with.
And like, that would be the catalyst. And I think this is important for our hearers to listen. You know, see, I'd grown up in church, and what happened in this transformation of my life is going in a way that God crystallized the gospel to go from religion to relationship in a very healing and transformative way in my life. You know, but the power of just invitation, because when Lance invited me, I was aware that my life was not working. Like it was tore up. He didn't know that. And I remember when he invited me, I thought to myself this, hey, I'll go. I have nothing to lose. But I never imagined how much I had to gain.
Yeah, that's right. And at that time, you didn't feel like Lance was trying to quote unquote fix you, did you?
No.
No. I think that's a part of it too, right?
Yeah. 8.9 seconds. There wasn't a lot of fixing. It was just like, yeah.
Just come on with me.
It's between classes.
Right.
It's just like, hey, what are you doing? Yeah. You want to come with me to this? Sure.
Invitation to hang out.
Right. And I mean, like, honestly, we do that in so many other things. I mean, like, sometimes, like, running the streets and stuff, it'd be like, hey, man, what you doing, man? You know, we're doing this night.
That's right.
And so, like, we already know how to do invitation.
That's right.
It's inviting people to things that are life-giving.
Let me ask you this, for parents that might be listening, caregivers, guardians, coaches, teachers, etc., what are some of the symptoms, if you will, that a person may be dealing with, a young person may be dealing with hopelessness? And on that, I don't know if there's a quote unquote spectrum of hopelessness, right? Where mm-hmm. it gets to being severe. But what are some of the signs that people should look out for?
Well, one, if you start, you'll see kind of a depression among of people. Sometimes there'll be an over, you know, mania as well. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes that'll happen towards the end where people start saying, hey, I want to give this stuff away. Not sleeping, not eating, you know, a loss of interest in things that they once enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really kind of lots of isolation. And that's one of the things that's hard, James, is because those little things called phones, it really can cause people to be highly isolated.
Yep.
And really just focused on a screen. Comparison, denigrating talk about themselves, you know, and that comparison thing, like, you know, I'm not as good as so-and-so.
Right.
And it's kind of like a persistent, and I'm worthless. Like, I don't have anything, you know, to give. And when people start saying, like, you guys would be better off without me, you know, I'm such a burden.
Yeah.
And again, like sometimes having just really, you know, honest and straightforward conversations, like, you know, are you thinking about this?
Yeah.
Have you considered suicide? And then a question, have you made a plan? Okay.
Mm.
Because sometimes people will ideate, but not necessarily have a plan. But some people ideate and they have a plan.
They have a plan.
And then if you're like, you know, do you have a definite plan? You know, walk me through that. And here's the thing, like, don't be embarrassed to like speak into someone's life, you know, and to ask questions.
Yeah.
Sometimes, James, what I'll say, like, if you and I were talking, I may say, you know what, James, I may or may not have this right. And if I have it wrong, please forgive me. I've noticed some things and I just want to make sure you're okay. I want to let you know I care. Like, is there some things that you, you know, that you're carrying? Sometimes we'll ask a question like how you're doing, but sometimes you can ask the question, hey, James, man, what's heavy on your shoulders today?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's heavy on your heart? And sometimes when you talk to someone, when they're like, how you doing? Fine. Okay. Talk a little bit more. So James, how are you doing? Oh, man, I'm good. And it's like, you talk a little bit more. It's like, okay, James, keep it real with me. Like, how are you really doing?
Yeah.
Because we want to be known. And this is one of the things I found. People want to be known. The question that they wonder is, does anyone actually care to listen?
That's good. And that to me goes back to, again, that quote, I'm in a crowded room, yet I feel by myself, right? If you feel isolated, physical proximity of people doesn't matter if you feel isolated. What I love about some of the questions that you mentioned is it helps us get beyond the yes, no answer. Response questions, right? Yes, no answer response questions are easy to get past, but that what are you struggling with? What's the burden on your shoulders right now? Some of those questions really get to that next point in the conversation. If some of these folks, David, tell me, say, listen, I have observed some things, as David has said, I've asked some questions that got some answers that have made me uncomfortable, but I'm not sure how to take the next step. I want to get my youth and person I care for plugged in a treehouse. What's the best way for them to do that?
Well, you know, one of the things that we do a webinar, and like, I'm going to make sure that I get the website correct. You can register on the website at treehousehope.org/webinar. And if you want to learn more about our programs and partnerships, you can go to our www.treehousehope.org. and start a program. There's a get in touch form on that page that they can fill out. And, you know, James, that's one of the ways that you can reach out to Treehouse. One of the things that we want to be clear too is that Treehouse is left behind kind of that old school takeover type of ministry type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like with that thing like coming in and like, we're going to take over and we have all the answers. Like, no. No, you know, we don't operate with that type of hubris. We really believe that you know your community, you know your kids, you know your family better than anyone. And our focus now really is on building up local churches and organizations to reach those that are in their community, because you know your community so well. And there are so many wonderful assets in there that we don't have enough lifetimes to learn, nor should we. Because you're already there. Right. And so we offer resources, we offer expertise, but we create a true partnership because you're the experts on the ground. And we learn from local leaders how best to minister and partner with your culture and with your community. And so, you know, we offer another thing, a faith forward and also faith neutral programs. Because for some, they're like, hey, I'm in a setting where I can be very much just faith forward that. But Treehouse also has faith neutral. And because our goal is helping all teens to come out of hopelessness.
Yeah.
And so there's different ways that we go about this as a equipping organization. And we want to definitely have a conversation with you. You know, Tim Clark, who is the CEO, is just... And the entire team, just an amazing group of people who have a deep love for people and are very much committed. I've served on a number of boards, but I've never, and I'm not just saying this for your show. I mean, like literally, I've never served on a board with such a group of people that are so also diverse.
Yeah.
You know, a number of African Americans, Anglo, Asian, Latino. I mean, like, there's just a rich makeup of people on this board, and they are all committed to seeing hopelessness ended among teens.
And that's so good. That's so good. David, Miles, thank you so much. Audience, I'll have it listed in the show notes for those that catch us on the podcast, but please, please, please avail yourself of these resources at treehousehope.org and either click on start a program or at /webinars and get connected today. David, thank you again.
Thank you so much, James. And thank you to your listeners as well.
Family, we have been talking about learning all year long, and we will continue to do so, by the way. Learning is a critical part of anything we do. It's intentional in terms of being in our acronym of FAVE, F-A-V-E, Faith, Art, Vocation, and Education. Learning is important across all the first three pillars. Being a lifetime learner, I believe, is a posture and an attitude. So I'm always going to talk about learning, the importance of it, how you do it, why you do it, so on and so forth. Today is a how. One of the hows in learning are webinars. And webinars are particularly interesting because, let me read the definition. A webinar is an online seminar that allows participants to share information online. It's different from meeting tools, which are designed for small groups to meet and collaborate in real time, and traditional streaming media like videos, which don't allow the audience to engage with the content. Webinars are interactive and allow for full online audience participation. So webinars is a space, a medium, a vehicle, a tool, if you will, that allows you to have interactive learning. So I want to share four places that you can learn for free. And let me say this, well, two things at the onset. One, why for free? Well, a couple of reasons. Most of the organizations that I've seen offer webinars, and certainly those I'm going to highlight today, have a full learning suite that includes forms of paid learning. And so offering webinars absolutely is a way to attract you in into the paid learning space. There's a benefit to that for you. Whether you choose the paid learning is a whole nother conversation, but think about it this way. That means they're going to make those webinars as good as they can be with good teachers, professors, etc., to ensure you get a quality learning experience that entices you to get the paid learning experience. So listen, even if you never get to the paid, that means you are likely getting some of the best, because again, it is an acquisition tool. So remember that. The first one I'm going to mention, so the second thing I said I would say, because the first one I'm going to mention, is DeVry University. And I always have to say, I'm a board of trustee member at DeVry University. I believe in the mission. I believe in the product, etc. But yes, DeVry is first on my list because they offer a professional development series with such things as embracing uncertainty, taking care of yourself when working remotely, growth mindset, and so much more. So soft skills and hard skills are offered in the DeVry University. So you can simply go to devry.edu or Google DeVry Professional Development, and you will find it. The second one I want to mention is webinars offered from an organization called Career Development Solutions. They provide monthly webinars on the latest business practices and technologies. The latest business practices and technologies. So you can check them out at careerdevelopmentsolutions.com/webinars. I'll say it again, careerdevelopmentsolutions.com/webinars. The third organization is University of Minnesota CCAPS. This is an interesting one. They have a series of free professional development webinars on topics such as coaching and management. And so if you go to, I would advise you to Google UM is a Mary, N is a Nancy, CCAPS, exactly like it sounds, and you'll see a ton of topics. And what's nice is they add one each month. So each month you're getting something of focus related to coaching and management. Some topics they recently covered are working with challenging people. I'm sure none of you work with challenging people. Sure you do. But how can you better do it? Another topic was embodied communication. Communications are so vital. Miscommunications can feel fatal. And so focusing on how you communicate. A third one I saw, inclusive and impactful leadership, right? Oftentimes, people talk about inclusion as if it were dilutive to good leadership and having an impact. No, they are together, inclusive and impactful leadership. Okay, that's UMN CCAPS. The fourth and last one I want to tip you to is UCI Division of Career Pathways. They offer career-focused modules that are free and accessible at any time. The website is career.uci.edu. Career.uci.edu. And simply type in library after that. They've got a great library of options, including career paths. And their career paths are structured around different industries. So, for example, arts and entertainment, business and healthcare, careers in creative economy, gig economy, psychology, etc. So you can go through and look by industry, but then they also have topical areas, interviewing techniques, job searching, network, etc. So, my friends, as a part of this career clinic, I just want to say to you, avail yourself of resources to help you continue your career journey by undergirding it with fabulous learning.